Can you just imagine what it must have been like in the life of just one of the apostles? To see things through the eyes of an apostle? Just 2 weeks ago, you marched into Jerusalem alongside Jesus as he triumphantly rode on the foal of a donkey into the city. And people were chanting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And waving palm branches. And then just 2 days before that, you witnessed Jesus calling his friend Lazarus out of the tomb, as can be read in John 11. The Passover is coming quickly, and you're helping to make preparations for the Seder meal in the upper room. When the evening of the meal comes, Jesus is busy washing your feet, as uncomfortable as that may be, to have your master acting like a servant over you. Something amazing happens during the meal. Jesus says an awesome prayer to the Father, a blessing, sanctifying everyone who believes in him, and asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit to stand by and protect his friends. No longer servants, but friends. So much was happening during the meal. Jesus gave us his body and his blood, and that apostle is still trying to figure that one out. And then Judas ups and leaves. They all leave and go from the city across the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane, the quiet of the garden on the Mount of Olives, for Jesus to pray. The apostles all fall asleep, not once, but twice. And then Judas comes with a mob of soldiers. He kisses Jesus. And Peter becomes enraged, drawing his sword and cutting off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. And Jesus puts the ear back on. They drag Jesus off, bound like he's some criminal. All the apostles fled, but Peter followed at a distance to see where they were taking Jesus. Most of the apostles were hiding in fear, for fear of the Jews catching them and killing them too. They get word that Peter denied Jesus 3 times, just as Jesus had warned him earlier in the evening. The rest of those were in the upper room, and they must rely on other people coming to tell them what's happening. John is with Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they witness the crucifixion and tell others about Jesus' death, and that he's now buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, a brand new tomb for the Savior. Can you just imagine the feelings that were going on in that upper room? Feelings of fear and depressing sadness. They spent 3 years following their master, and now he's gone. Now what? They have plenty of time to reflect on Jesus' words, saying that he must die, but he will come back. He told them, as recorded in John 10, 14 and 15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." And then there was Jesus saying things like, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Can you imagine how they missed it while it was being said? They weren't putting two and two together. But right now, these are only words to the apostles. For they're all alone and deathly afraid. They must have been clinging to Jesus' words. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They'll kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life, as recorded in Matthew 17. Can you imagine all of these scenes running together in their minds? And then there were Jesus' words to them in that very upper room, that his time was coming soon. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. But in spite of these words of direction and comfort, they were still alone and, oh, so afraid. And then something incredible happens. Early on the Sunday after the crucifixion of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John come into the room and tell everybody that Jesus' grave is empty. And Mary Magdalene says that she has seen him and really spoken with Jesus. How can this be true? Is he really alive? Later that day, two of Jesus' disciples leave to go to Emmaus, which is just 7 miles from Jerusalem. And on the road, they meet a stranger. And they didn't recognize that it was Jesus, as recorded in Luke 24, 13 to 31. As they walked, Jesus opened their minds to all about him that was in the scriptures. And then they had a meal. And when Jesus broke the bread, they realized it was him. And he disappeared suddenly. That's where today's Holy Gospel picks up. And things get even more amazing for the apostles and their friends. Remember, this is as if you were in the room through the eyes of an apostle. When on that evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Up to this point, most of them were going on the words of just a few. But now the risen Jesus was right in their midst and showing them real proof. I'm sorry, but to describe the apostles as overjoyed probably doesn't really do the job. Right in front of them, Jesus' promises were fulfilled. He had risen from the dead just like he had said. And you know that's no normal or small task. Has anyone here today ever witnessed a friend coming back from the grave? Have you? What would your reaction be? Overjoyed? I would probably think it would be more. I bet a little shock would be part of your feelings. Maybe disbelief? Well, that's not the end of it. And with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus was giving them a gift of the Holy Spirit, but not to the extent of what they would receive on the day of Pentecost, which gave them strength and confidence to go to the ends of the earth. Not only did Jesus breathe on them, but he empowered them with an ordination to forgive sins and give absolution. And friends, that's why the church, when a minister is ordained, receives the Holy Spirit to do that ministry on behalf of God, to offer absolution and forgiveness of sins. For these apostles, there would be more to come in a little more than 40 days from that first day of the week, on the day of Pentecost. You can just imagine their excitement when Thomas walks in the room. Thomas, who is known as Didymus, or the twin, he walks in and they told him what he'd missed. Like the others who, up to Jesus' appearance to them, had only relied on what other people had experienced and told them, Thomas wanted more too. He wanted empirical or tangible evidence, and not just hearsay. 1 week later, they were all there, and Jesus once again came into that locked room, offered them his peace, his shalom. And what did he do? He made a beeline right to Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas's reaction was like no one else. He said, my Lord and my God. No other apostle up to that point had proclaimed that. He said, my Lord and my God. After going through everything that we listed today, can you imagine the relief and blessing that Thomas felt? With everything he witnessed for 3 years and all of Jesus' promises being fulfilled right before his eyes. But Jesus is not done by any means, because he then blesses Thomas, saying, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet believe. That blessing went far beyond those in the locked upper room. It was a blessing for the generations of people to come who would believe, as receiving the faith as described in the Epistle of Jude, the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Jude 1:3. Then the Apostle John, who wrote this gospel, tells the world that as astounding as this gospel is, there's so much more that Jesus did that's not recorded, but the disciples witnessed. His intention of the accounts that he wrote are so that people might believe, and that by believing may have life in Jesus' name. I, for one, am very grateful that we can read that gospel and see the life of Jesus, the Messiah, through the eyes of an apostle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.